Listen, put me in the parking lot, you know, with bears, and I'll go out there and play. It don't matter.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's a Ferg Friday. Weekend is almost here. Game day is almost here as the Auburn Tigers take on Ole Miss. This will obviously be our last show until that game. We'll break it all down for you with Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer in just a moment. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Fetch Me Home Delivery. If you listen to the show consistently at all, you know we love Fetch Me. Their service is great, but also how involved they are in the community. You know, you can use Grubhub or Uber Eats, you know, all of these, you know, national chains, but there's only one place in Lee County from a meal delivery service standpoint that actually cares about the community and is investing in it. And they are very involved with the Beat Bama food drive, obviously, with a large part of their business being taking food to people. They want to make sure they are able to bring food to the people that need it most. And so that's why I love Fetch Me Home Delivery. The folks over there, Ken and Harrison and their team, they do such a good job of investing and giving back. So whenever you order through FetchMeDelivery.com or their brand new wonderful app, just search Fetch Me in your phone's app store. It should pop right on up. After you place the order, you can go to the Beat Bama e-store and donate there. And at the end of all of this, of course, all these donations go to the Food Bank of East Alabama. But at the end of this Beat Bama food drive campaign, they're going to match whatever you guys give. And I think that is awesome. So highly encourage you to support our friends at Fetch Me Home Delivery. You can also use promo code ZAC20 for your first delivery free. Justin Ferguson with the Auburn Observer now joining us. Justin, how's it going, bud?
I'm doing great. A little tired, but doing great. It's been a long week.
Yeah, it's a Ferg Friday, though, so we all can relax and have fun for a few minutes. So
yes,
that's
sir.
Okay.
Yes,
that's
sir.
All right. Loved the basketball story about Jamal earlier this week.
Yeah, I felt like, especially after Auburn losing to South Carolina, I need to give some things out that might not be quite as depressing to Auburn fans. So a little bit more basketball coming up in the days ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some buzz. He's got some buzz around him. I'm skeptical that he's going to start at that two spot. But
it'd be a really good sign for Auburn if he had emerged to the point where he could start.
Yeah.
I will say that. Just the fact that he has more experience than anybody else on the team at the D1 level. And Bruce Pearl said he's the most improved player on the team so far this offseason, and that's a really, really good sign, I think.
To be fair, though, to be a most improved, you have to be coming back, and there's not a lot of guys coming.
That is true. That is true. Not a whole lot. It's going to be a very young team. So I think the big thing there with Auburn fans is be patient. Be really patient with this team because I think they're going to be really fun in time. But be patient, especially when you have to play Gonzaga and Baylor in the non-conference play.
Yeah. What do you expect the balance of stories as far as over at the Auburn Observer to be between football and basketball?
Yeah, I think as long as football season's going on, that'll continue to be the priority.
Of course, sure.
But as we get closer into basketball season, you know, hopefully trying to do something around kind of 50-50 with the split. And I think that all depends on how football goes the rest of the way and how basketball gets off to their start. But yeah, we'll probably in the preseason, we'll probably try to have at least one a week until we get closer to games.
So football not going super well so far this year. Now, obviously, Ole Miss, Michael and I, we talked about it yesterday on Locked On Auburn. It's the perfect get-right game when you look at what their defense looks like. Mm-hmm. Michael's more optimistic about tomorrow's matchup than I am. Where are you sitting on this? I mean, this offense that's been so up and down, going up against, I mean, I think you can make the case the worst defense in the SEC, maybe even the worst defense in the country. I mean, it's down there.
It's really bad, and I think the big thing for me for this game for Auburn is that Auburn needs more from its leaders on the offensive side of the ball, and I put that in two different ways. Number one, you need, I think, a game plan and just preparation, coaching, whatever you want to call it, from Gus Malzahn, Chad Morris, their assistants on the offensive side of the ball, to get Auburn in a spot where they got to be able to take advantage of this really bad defense. I thought last week against South Carolina, you're throwing the ball, you're dropping back way too much considering how well Tank Bigsby's been able to play this year.
Yeah.
Get a little bit more depth at running back, stuff like that. Take advantage of that. And number two, you need more out of Bo Nix. He is a team captain. He is a leader. There was obvious frustration, obvious miscommunication, and his three picks were the difference in the game against South Carolina. Got to have more from him because right now he's putting up more passes this season in the Chad Morris offense, but his numbers have gone backwards. Ole Miss really can't stop the run. Had a little bit more success against pass defense, but they're both pretty bad. Mm-hmm. So, like, you got to take advantage of that. Auburn's been talking about balance. I think everybody wants to say, oh, run the ball, which is true. But in order to have the best chance to beat Ole Miss is that you're going to have more out of Bo Nix in a road game, and we know his numbers in road games have not been good in his career.
Right.
Justin, I have maybe the most important question that's going to get asked.
Oh, boy.
Is Snoop Connor a better name than Tank Bigsby?
No. I've heard plenty of Snoops running around. Tank, I mean, that's just, it's very unique to have a football player named Tank. Now, Snoop Connor is a great name. And Snoop Connor has such a good name that I'm surprised he's not at Auburn. I'm still going with Tank. I mean, I think the thing with Tank, though, that makes Tank Bigsby's name great is that he runs like a tank.
Right.
And it just fits. It fits perfectly. No disrespect to Mr. Connor, but
sure.
There's a lot of Snoops out there. There's not very many Tanks.
Now, that's an important question. No doubt.
Very important.
No doubt. So, as far as Bo Nix looking bad on the road, how much of that is mental at this point? How much of that is just, you know, I mean, there was a stint where he was playing tougher teams on the road.
Right.
But now that it's kind of been, okay, well, you know, he's played more than LSU and Florida on the road at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be mental to some extent, right?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think in this season right now, it's just straight up the fact that he's not playing well no matter where he is.
Yeah.
Week one against Kentucky, he played well. But then the Georgia game, it was a rough game for Auburn. Even against Arkansas, there was the numbers weren't great. He didn't stretch the field a ton in that game. And then in South Carolina, look, you can't throw it on, okay, it's a tough atmosphere. There was hardly anybody in that game in Columbia. It's nowhere near the type of road environment you normally get in the SEC.
Right.
Same thing's going to happen this week for Ole Miss. I think it's just at this point right now, there's just so much inconsistency, so much frustration. I think he's pressing too much.
Yeah.
Miscommunication, all that stuff. It's just not good. It's just not good, and it's been a little bit better at home. I think he might be a little bit more comfortable at home, but yeah, I think right now since the Kentucky game early on in the year, it just hasn't been good pretty much wherever they're playing this year.
When you look at his technique and his tendencies in the pocket, I mean, obviously some people are saying he's running for his life. I look at a lot of his snaps and I'm like, no, he's running just to run.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line looked a lot better. I don't think the offensive line was the issue at South Carolina.
No.
It looks like you're agreeing with me there.
Right.
So Malzahn talked about getting those same five guys back. They're solidifying as an offensive line. I don't think Ole Miss is going to be able to pressure Bo Nix a ton. What do you imagine the conversations in the quarterback room is when Chad Morris and Gus Malzahn are talking to these quarterbacks, specifically Bo Nix, and showing them film? And it's like they've got to be talking about this, right?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. I think the thing with Nix is that, you know, the talk from Malzahn when you ask him about what he's saying with Nix is like he keeps going back to the point where he's like he's just trying to make a play. I think it's just that pressure. He's forcing it. I personally think he's pressing too much. And so he bails out a little too quickly. He doesn't trust that offensive line. And yeah, there are times when that offensive line lets him down and there's sacks and there's reasons to tuck it and go. But there's sometimes where he runs himself into trouble. And I think and this is where this Ole Miss game is important for him, because like you said, Zach, don't really see this crew necessarily pressuring Bo Nix a ton. And if that's the case, trust your protection. Take advantage. Take advantage of what you're going to get. This has got to be kind of that bounce back game, that get right game. I very much compare it to what Auburn had in 2017 with Jarrett Stidham. You go and get annihilated at Clemson, and then you scrape by against Mercer. Well, yeah. You got to go to Missouri, and then they play a really balanced game on offense, and that was the first game where you saw Stidham really take that step forward. Nix needs a game like that away from home. He desperately needs a game like that away from home.
We'll continue our chat with Jay Ferg in just a moment. But Built Go makes you the best at whatever you do. Break through that wall, whether it's a mental or physical wall. You can break through it every day with Built Go. They're easy to take in 1.5 ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase, your backpack, your pocket, your purse. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. I was skeptical about the consistency of it, but it's good. It's delicious. It's easy to consume. And it's got all this good stuff in it, a lot of vitamins, B6, B12, beta-alanine, B3 honey. It's got a little bit of caffeine in there, collagen protein, so it's fast and absorbing. It's good for your gut health. Highly recommend Built Go. Go to BuiltGo.com, use promo code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, and get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. And also, we love watching college football on Saturdays. And, you know, with most people's weeks being go, 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 busy, 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 nonstop all the time, Saturday's your day to chill. And why not enjoy that time with the beer that's made to chill? Coors Light, no matter what sport you're watching, is the beer that is made to chill. Obviously, football is very therapeutic to fans. And Coors Light's the official beer of watching any sport or team, just to drink. You just got to drink it. Just got to drink it. So, Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So, when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at getcoorslight.com. Excuse me, get.coorslight.com. That is get.coorslight.com. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Justin, you retweeted some stuff from SEC StatCat yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess on Wednesday. Zach and I talked about it a little bit on yesterday's show. It says the SEC players with the most tight window / contested targets entering week 5. Seth Williams is number 1 with 23. The guy in second only has 14. Do you think that that is Bo forcing it? Or do you think that it's a little more of Seth struggling to get open and then Bo forcing it?
I think it's a little bit of Seth Williams struggling to get open, but I think it's more of the forcing it. You go back to that South Carolina game, there was a stretch where Auburn threw the ball, I think it was like 6 or 7 times in, you know, on third downs, and 4 of them went to Seth Williams. Towards the end of the game, you saw Bo get a little, you know, gun shy a little bit. It would be great to have all 22, you know, film of these games and kind of look at it. But even on the broadcast copy, you can kind of see some opportunities where guys like Eli Stover getting open late. John Samuel Shanker, I don't know what it's going to take for him to get a ball thrown in his direction, because he's out there a ton and he is getting open. He's not Travis Kelce, you know, getting open on every play, but he is getting open. I just think it's part of that pressing. It's part of that panic. It's part of that, okay, I got to make a play. Who's the guy who's going to make the play? And you just kind of, it's kind of default mode throwing it to Seth Williams. Now, Schwartz got a little bit more of it in this last game. Stove being back helps out a good bit as well. But I think it's a combination of the fact that Bo defaults to that a lot. And on top of that, Seth Williams is getting guarded by some really good cornerbacks like J.C. Horn.
He was good.
He's real good. He's real good. And, like, it's only going to get tougher from here, not at Ole Miss specifically, but, like, Seth's going to get the number one. Like, teams are going to shadow him. Teams are going to give their number one cover guys – trying to throw off that rhythm between those two guys, because it's clear on film that it's possible that you can do that.
Yeah.
So I think it's more kind of just pressing and trying to make a play and just defaulting to what you know the best.
Okay, I have 2 follow-up questions. Number one, do you think that's from the coaching staff? Like, they're like, there are plays where they're just like, get Seth the ball?
I don't think so necessarily. I think, you know, there's been some challenges in the past of like, oh, there's only 1 or 2 guys, you know, who can at least get open, or the play designs or something like that, you know, with Malzahn. I think more in Morris's system, there are guys out there running routes and having a shot to get open. I think it's just Bo. I personally think that it looks like just Bo just defaults to that, and it's more pressure on him. But I will say this, though, Michael. I think that Auburn can do a better job of drawing things up to get more guys involved. We saw Xavion Capers get a little bit more in the mix against South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Got to use those tight ends finally. Got to use, you know, I think you got to use the running backs more in the passing game. A little bit of both, but I would put it more on Bo, in my opinion.
The running back rotation, I think there's kind of a feeling Sean Shivers will be involved in the game plan tomorrow. Is that kind of the vibe you're getting?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way, you know, Gus made it sound like. He made the trip to South Carolina. It sounded like it was just going to be one of those, you know, emergency-only situations for him. We'll see if he's ready to go this week. I think there's a danger in, you know, people are saying, like, you know, you don't want to overload Tank, especially with Auburn's history at the position and the fact that he is a freshman. My argument there is that, yeah, Sean Shivers should help in that capacity, but, like, if you were worried about overloading a guy against South Carolina, why did DJ Williams only get 4 or 5 carries? Mm-hmm. And DJ Williams is averaging over 5 yards a touch this year. Like, he has stepped up his game running the ball. He's a really good pass protector. He's a weapon in that area as well. So I think Shivers being back is a little more continuity and some consistency that'll help, but, like, I think you could also work Williams a little bit more, knowing that he's not Tank Bigsby, but he's broken off a couple of really good runs this season.
Yeah.
DJ is not just a good pass blocker. He's the highest graded pass blocker in the country.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, he was out there a bajillion times against South Carolina. Like, he ended up out-touching or out-snapping, I guess, Tank Bigsby in that game just because they had him out on the field so often. And he's another one of those guys. You saw that first drive of the game. They run that little wheel route to him on third down. He can get open. He's got decent hands as well. So I think take a little bit more advantage in the pass game. And this is the game to kind of do that with, because I don't really see Ole Miss just being like, oh, and we're really good at covering running backs. We're not good at anything else, but we're really good at covering running backs out of the passing game. I don't think anybody's good at covering running backs, as Alabama showed last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my second follow-up question about Bo Nix was that we've heard quite a few NFL quarterbacks, I think most notably this season it was Josh Allen, who've said that they've had to have kind of the mindset switch of, like, on every play, you're not going for a touchdown, you're going for a first down or 5 yards or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that is something that Nick struggles with? I mean, just like trying to score a touchdown on every play instead of just trying to, like, have a positive play for the team?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that to it. Like I said earlier, he presses a lot. It seems like he forces some things. I mean, two of those interceptions against South Carolina, it's like, probably can throw that away or, you know, just live the fight another down. He did a little bit better job doing that late. But then it's stuff like, you know, trying to scramble and jump over dudes and stuff like that. It shows fight. It shows heart. It shows that you want to win, and those are all really good things. But practically, I think you can also run into the real problems doing that as well. And, yeah, I think it's just general inconsistency on the offense, which is just really cranking up the pressure on him. Where he feels like he has to step up and perform. He knows his numbers aren't good. He knows he's taking a step back in some areas. He knows he's got to play better, and I think that leads to it as well. The problem is that, you know, what we've seen out of Nick's, like, if you look at his home road splits, like, that quarterback, not going to win the Heisman, but that quarterback can win you some games, especially with a really good running game next to it. Taking care of the football, completing a better amount of your percentages. You hate to throw off on game manager because Bo Nix is not a game manager, but I feel like he could do a better job of managing the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Going into this Ole Miss game, a big problem for Auburn this year has been penalties. Mm-hmm. You wrote a really nice thing in the Observer, kind of breaking down when the penalties happened, and why they were so detrimental.
Yeah.
Gus has been asked about it, and he said that it's coaching. Mm-hmm. It's a coaching problem. Is that true?
I think it's not
getting, like, stupid personal foul penalties. Like,
right.
They're like mental errors on the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you have the mental errors like that and the execution errors like that, coaches will a lot of times point that to themselves and say, well, we didn't get them in the right position. We haven't prepared them well enough. Yeah, the players have to actually make the plays. But I think when you look at kind of some of the penalties they've made, it's I think on the offensive end, it's more kind of coaching and execution. Defensively, I think it's a lot more just maybe offsides. You just got to have better self-control there. Some of those pass interference calls against South Carolina were like, come on, man, what are y'all even looking at? That ball, like, there's no way that guy could catch that ball. So I think it's a little bit more unlucky on the defensive end. Offensively, though, it's just the general lack of consistency from this offense. It's the, you know, two steps forward, three steps back kind of thing that we've gotten from Auburn's offense. And so, yeah, it does come down to coaching. The players have to make play. Like, Bo Nix has to play better. Seth Williams has to play better. The offensive line's got to play better. Everybody's got to play better. But a lot of that comes down to the guys who are getting paid millions of dollars to get them in that position. So I think that that's where I would tend to agree with Malzahn on that side.
You're listening to Locked On Auburn. Justin, before we jump into more of Auburn Ole Miss, if you would kind of tell us what's going on at the Auburn Observer, how people can sign up, and what all they get when you do that.
Yeah, absolutely. AuburnObserver.com is where you can check out all of my stuff. We do about four or five, some days, even some weeks, even six stories that cover Auburn football and Auburn basketball, like we were talking about earlier in the show. We also have a premium podcast episode we do once a week that comes out on Thursdays. Painter Sharpless and I preview the game.
It's long, too. They're a lot longer than these.
Yeah, that's my thing about keep listening to Zach's podcast. Keep listening to Locked On, because he's the only one who's going to give it to you every day, him and Pappas. But we kind of do more of the longer conversations, and we do those twice a week. One of them's free wherever you get podcasts. The other one is for subscribers. To subscribe, $6 a month or $60 a year can get you in there. And, it's through Substack. The quick thing about Substack is you don't have to wait for a link, or you don't have to wait for getting it tweeted. Whenever we post a story or a podcast, it gets sent right to your email inbox, and you're able to read it from there.
Yeah, and I was skeptical about that. And
it's an adjustment, but once you make it, you'll love it.
Yeah, I really liked it. It looks good on your phone. It looks good on your desktop. However you want to access your email, it all looks good there. The GIFs and the videos and the links and all that, it works great. So, yeah, AuburnObserver.com. What's the biggest thing that Auburn should be concerned about against Ole Miss? Is it stopping them offensively when Auburn's on defense? Or is it kind of the pressure that Auburn's offense is going to be facing? It's like, all right, you better perform.
Yeah, I think it's the offense. Because defensively, you don't expect Ole Miss to throw six interceptions again.
Right.
But they're going to move the ball, and they're going to have some success on Auburn's defense. And Auburn's defense, I think Kevin Steele's going to have a really good plan. I think he's especially going to look at what Arkansas did and what Barry Odom did and try to put that into
slowed him down, yeah.
Yeah, definitely slowed him down doing that way. I think he'll have a good plan in place. I think the defense will be able to play well. But, like, here's the fact of the matter. You have such a lopsided matchup, it should be, on defense. You have to be able to take advantage of that. And what we've seen from this Auburn offense this year through 4 weeks has not been good enough on the whole. Take advantage of that. Go on the road and get a win. If Auburn, I will be very surprised. I'll say this. I'll be very surprised if Auburn loses this game and you point the finger at the defense because they gave up like 60
or
50. And it's like, well, the offense did their job. It's hard for me to see that. So I think if Auburn wins this game on Saturday, it's going to be because the offense steps up and takes advantage of these game of a game, a favorable matchup. We've seen it several times under Gus Malzahn. You got to do it this week. Otherwise, it's only going to get tougher from here, except for maybe Mississippi State.
Yeah.
It's only going to get harder from here.
Sure. The whole road issue with Bo, I mean, I don't think we're going to know when that's going to end. But
right.
The answer to that is you run it more, right?
And I think so.
And you put more on Tank in the running game, but
balance.
Is Morris going to do that?
I think so. I will go back to what Gus said before the Arkansas game. He made this big thing in the press conferences about we got to run the ball, we got to get back to running the ball, got to be balanced, and they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people, and even me to an extent, will agree with this. Some of that is because, the rain was so heavy in the first half against Arkansas, and they couldn't really throw the ball as well. That's why they ran it a ton.
Okay.
My argument there is that they were talking about running the ball even before they knew it was going to be raining that hard during that portion of the game.
Yeah.
Like, we knew it was going to be rainy, but it was that aspect. Malzahn's gotten back on that horse this week. He has said, we got to run the ball. We got to run the ball. And I think at this point, when you have such a quarterback-heavy strategy at South Carolina, it was a letdown for you. You have to just start looking at the numbers at this point and say, look, Tank Bigsby's one of the best running backs in America. Your running game is one of the best in the SEC right now. Lean on it. I'm not saying you have to become 2013 and 2014 Auburn again, or even 2017 Auburn. But, like, they're talking about balance, and Malzahn said, okay, well, we got kind of out of whack in the second half. We had to throw the ball. They were throwing the ball a ton when the game was going good against South Carolina. So I think the thing there is it's going to be enough of an emphasis. And, man, Ole Miss is so bad at stopping the run. Even teams that don't run the ball well have been able to move the ball on the ground against them. And it's a lot less risky to turn and hand it to the guy next to you than put the ball in the air, especially at the point where Bo Nix is right now, where he just hasn't been consistent enough to take over a game.
The thing I'm most concerned about is Christian Tuck covering Elijah Moore.
It's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
Just in terms of covering those guys, period. I mean, Auburn's secondary, they gave up some big plays to Arkansas. And Arkansas, as good as Felipe Franks has looked at times this season, they don't have the receivers, and he's not Matt Corral. And, and the guy calling plays for him is not Lane Kiffin. So it's going to be a challenge. So,
well, the guy calling plays for him is Kendall Briles, who might be not a good person, but he has shown he can coach a college football offense.
He can, but I'm gonna take Lane in that head-to-head matchup more often than not. But yeah, it is a good point. And I think Michael, what you said there makes a lot of sense, because Arkansas did a good job of taking advantage of some areas where Auburn was weakened in that game. Steele's gonna have a really good plan, but I think it's gonna come down to just executing for sure. And if Jalen Simpson is able to kind of play 100% in that game, I think that'll only help, just because it'll be kind of all hands on deck from that secondary to slow down what those guys are going to want to throw at you.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that you go back to the Arkansas game instead of talking about the South Carolina game when talking about the secondary, because I kind of feel like against Arkansas, the wide receivers were, I guess, schemed open. And against South Carolina, Shai Smith just made some
really good plays.
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
he was dirty.
Plays.
Yep.
And
they took advantage of some penalties on Auburn's end. Yeah. Like keep in mind, South Carolina only had one sustained drive against Auburn where they scored, and it wasn't a drive where they started on the Auburn side of the field. And on that drive, you can point out to breakdowns in run defense was the bigger issue there for sure. I think it's just you got to play better and know that the guy you're going up against is going to scheme pretty well because he's really good at that. And outside of last week, he's had a ton of success doing it this season.
Sure. All right. So let's do our picks, if you're cool with that, guys.
Woo.
The over under is like, I think it reached 70.
Good gracious.
And I just I don't know if I see that happening.
I don't either. What y'all got? Because I told you it was gonna be a weird score last week, by the way. That was my lockdown pick. I was like, something dumb's gonna happen. It's gonna be a weird score at the end because these teams aren't normal, and lo and behold, the 2-point conversion will make you
right.
Do that.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as they did that, I'm like, Justin's gonna be right on that. I'm thinking like 33-28 Ole Miss.
Okay.
That's kind of what I'm going with there. So I don't feel good about it. I don't feel good about Auburn's offense. I think there's going to be too much pressure on, like, okay, this is the worst defense in college football. We've got to capitalize.
Mm-hmm.
If they come out and run the football, they win this thing. I'm not confident they're going to be able to do that for four quarters. That's just me.
It's a fair worry to have, I think, especially knowing, Auburn hasn't fully committed to running the ball in a game this year like you probably think they should.
Yeah.
Given how much success they've had.
It's so odd. It's so interesting because it's like the total opposite of what we've seen from Auburn offenses under Gus since he's been here.
By the way, it is a clear and obvious sign, I think, that Gus Malzahn is not running this offense, because if Gus Malzahn was running this offense, they would be toting the rock a lot more.
You're right.
I'll just say that.
Nuh-uh, dude. Have you seen their struggles in the red zone? Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Calling plays.
You mean the fact that Auburn led the SEC in touchdown percentage in red zone trips last season?
Yeah.
It's just not working.
Right.
It looks different. It's just not working.
Yeah. Now, like I said, if they run the football,
right?
I think they win this. They control the clock. It gives their defense time to breathe. A lot of good things happen when you can run the football consistently. We all know this. We've all seen Auburn teams do this in the past. You don't have to prove to me. Auburn doesn't have to prove to me they can run the football. They have to prove to me that they will run the football consistently. So that's why that's my pick for tomorrow. Michael, what are you thinking?
I think that that's hilarious because exactly one season ago, we were talking the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
We have to prove that they can throw the ball or will throw the ball.
Look at what all these other teams are doing.
Weird. It's so weird.
Inconsistency is bad, and it's been around for a little while.
Yeah.
The South Carolina game, real fast. When Auburn was driving at the end, down 8 points or whatever, I was like, they're gonna score and we're going to triple overtime. And I
thought so as well. I thought so as well. I thought that's where that game was headed.
I think Auburn's offense is gonna get some stuff done. I'll take Auburn to score 30 plus, and I don't think Ole Miss is gonna be able to keep up. I'll take Auburn at, let's go with like 35 to 14.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's a statement game.
That is a statement. And if Auburn plays like that, you feel a lot better about the season moving forward, especially on that side of the ball, on the defense side of the ball, for sure, if they held them that much. I'll go with another weird score again. give me Auburn 37, Ole Miss 31. I think Auburn's going to be able to force enough stops. In terms of forcing turnovers, we know this Ole Miss offense can be turnover prone. We know that in some games this year, Auburn's been able to step up and make some stops, and I think they're they can create a little havoc. Ole Miss is going to move the ball. Ole Miss is going to move the ball, but I think, 37-31 is where
Break
I'm
going.
Break
down how you get to 37 for me.
All right, here we go. Auburn gets two touchdowns with 2 2-point conversions, gets another one that they miss. I think Ole Miss's defense is so bad, and I think if you run the ball, you're going to get a lot of success doing that. And I think they'll end up, you know, the fact that they have the better defense and they're the better team, I'll lean towards Auburn. But man, I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking in here next week about Ohio Auburn's 2-3.
So I mean, I think it'll be
close.
It's an interesting game, and like Gus said, I believe Ole Miss is better than that 1-3 record.
Oh yeah.
Especially offensively. So
very few teams have had to play Florida and Alabama this year, like those caliber of opponents. And Kentucky, man. Kentucky looks pretty good.
Justin, give us a rundown of where people can find you and get your content and how to get it and all that one more time.
Yeah, Jay Ferguson AU on Twitter, auburnobserver.com. Like we said, $6 a month or $60 a year. You can get all of our stories and podcasts emailed directly to your inbox. So check it out.
Pappas?
Follow me on Twitter, @CouchPapTato.
I'm on Twitter, @ZBlackerby. The show's on Twitter, @LockedOnAuburn. We're on Instagram, @AuburnPodcast. And also check out the Instagram page, Planet Auburn. We'll recap everything from this weekend on Monday, right here on Locked On Auburn.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.